This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Roger Genver-Smith is known for performing history and has often said that he likes his topics hot. He's an actor and solo performer whose one-man shows have portrayed figures like Black Panther Party founder Huey P. Newton and abolitionist Frederick Douglass. His latest solo endeavor looks at Rodney King, a man whose beating sparked the 1992 L.A. riots and became a national icon overnight. The one-man show incorporates found texts, videos, and interviews to examine the unknown man behind a national myth and bring a story to life through poetic language and performance. Rodney King opens tonight at Playmakers Elizabeth Price Keenan Theater in Chapel Hill. We're going to get a preview right now. Roger Genver-Smith joins the program. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Frank. Good morning.
You you're on West Coast time, I'm sure.
Yes, it is morning.
It's good to have you here. You often document historical figures, and I learned that you at one point thought you were going to be a history professor. You wanted to study history.
Yes, but I wound up playing a history professor on a sitcom called A Different World. But I've learned to combine my interests. I was the kid who read the encyclopedia for fun. My mother had the narrative of Frederick Douglass in our home library. I devoured it. And some years later, it became my first solo performance. I just did it in Los Angeles at Bootleg Theater, which is where we first developed the Rodney King piece 2 years ago, just after we lost him in a tragic accident in his backyard swimming pool.
Tell us about how you developed that, because it's not a one-man show in the conventional sense that you are Rodney King. You are telling the story of Rodney King with one voice.
I'm telling the story, and I'm playing the story out. I am kind of a narrator who is an interrogator and a journalist all in one. It's a post-mortem interview with the late Mr. King.
You also found out some interesting details, ever the historian, about his life, things we may not have known.
Well, did you know that Rodney King was an avid skier, that he was a surfer, that he loved to fish? Did you know that he was a second-generation alcoholic, that he was a second-generation drowning victim? He found his father, whom he called the Kingfish, drowned in his swimming, in his bathtub. When he was just a teenager, that he knew Reginald Denny, the man who was notoriously beaten, pulled out of his truck. They had worked on a construction site together. The story is a compelling one, and I think one that's worth telling and worth hearing.
And as you tell the story, you take us on an interesting journey because you start out with the critical narrative about Rodney King, the one of the sort of disappointment that he wasn't all that some members of some African-American communities wanted him to be.
Well, there was an African-community called the Fifth Ward in Houston, which produced a group called the Ghetto Boys, and one of the main rappers in the Ghetto Boys was a guy named Willie D, and he wrote a rap, which I can't quote on public radio, but it was very critical of Rodney King in 1992. He did not feel that Rodney King stood up to the machismo that he should have, and he was very disappointed that Rodney King gave that speech on May Day 1992, in which he asked the question, can we all get along?
Yeah, you use that speech. That's a speech that you actually bring to the performance.
I think it's one that's worth hearing in its entirety. We often only hear a sound bite of that, and I think it's one of the great American speeches. Rodney King stopped a riot. The other King didn't stop a riot. And he spoke under great duress, under great pressure. He was literally brain damaged. There were 12 skull fractures that he had received just a year previously. He had had the profound disappointment of seeing the four officers who had beaten him acquitted. That was just two days previous to the speech. And he saw, perhaps most disappointingly, the city of Los Angeles go up in flames and many people losing their life in his name.
Can we hear that speech now?
People, I just want to say, can we can we all get along? Can we get along? Can we stop making it so horrible for the older folks and the kids? I mean, there's enough smog in Los Angeles, you know, to stop, you know, putting out these fires and things. It's not right. It's not right, and it's not going to change anything. We'll get our justice. They've won the battle, but they haven't won the war. We'll have our day in court, which is all we want. I'm not what they're picking me out to be. I love people of color. We've got to quit. I mean, I can understand, you know, the first upset, you know, the first couple of hours after the verdict, but to just keep on going on like this, it's not right, and to see the security guard shot down on the ground, it's not right, because these people will never go home to their families again. It's not right, people. We can get along. We just have to, you know, have to work it out. I mean, we're all stuck here for a while, so let's work it out. We got to work it out. Let's work it out.
Actor Roger Genvere-Smith, his one-man show Rodney King, is on stage at Playmakers, Elizabeth Price Keenan Theater. Starts tonight at 7:30. There's a talk back afterwards. I'll be there tonight with you to have one of the first conversations about this. How did you create the narrator that would both embody Rodney King, who has become a myth? I mean, this is a man who has lost to us as a human being. You had to turn him back into a human being, find the human in him, and then also be commentator around that for an entire performance.
When we lost Rodney King, and I discovered that loss, as many of us did, in the middle of my laptop computer, I was moved, and I wanted to know why. Why did it matter to me, and why, by extension, should it matter to my audience, to my potential audience? So those questions that the narrator asks are really fundamental questions that I think that I am asking, and I think that we, the audience, should be asking.
In that speech that you just recited, what is it that you want to emphasize? What moved you about that? Because you could, if you read the text of that speech, it is not in and of itself moving. It is the context. What do you want to make sure that is emphasized?
Well, I want to emphasize, Frank, it's profound context, the pressure of the moment that Rodney King came home from the trial, from not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, to the television set where he witnessed the beating of Reginald Denny, just as we all did on live television, where he witnessed Los Angeles being torched in his name. No justice, no peace, no justice, no peace. This is for you, Rodney. And he actually drove into the middle of the mayhem in a Rasta wig, and people were shouting, "This is for you, Rodney," but they had no idea that Rodney King was sitting right there in the middle of the intersection.
With the very car that he had was driving when he was stopped.
That's right.
Other coincidences as well that you found out, including the number of blows he received and the number of people killed in those riots.
Commensurate, absolutely, to the number, 56 blows. Mm. 56 fatalities in the riot.
In a story as charged as this, with an individual who was instantly mythologized, can we ever sort of sit down and try to understand what this really means for us and move forward? I mean, you heard the discussion. We have two council members here agonizing over how to manage this situation here in Durham. It's one of the few police departments that's actually taking it on. But agonizing over how to do it. Can you do that in a way that is sort of patient and human, or has it become so emotional we can't even talk about it?
I think we're talking about it right now, and we talked about it previously on this show in a very kind of constructive way, I think, because we talked about this thing called the U.S. Constitution. Our mayor pro tem here in Durham indicated that is our guiding light, as it were, our North Star in this entire process. Are there constitutional rights that are being abused here? But the story of Rodney King is a complicated one. There's no doubt that Rodney King was drunk the night that he was pulled over, that he was speeding the night that he was pulled over. But did he deserve for officers to tell him, as it was revealed in the second trial, run, nigger, we're going to kill you tonight, nigger? We think not. And if George Holliday, who is an Argentinian plumber who happened to have his new video cam trying it out that night, we wouldn't have known what had happened to Rodney King the way in which it did happen. And that, of course, was very shocking to us back in 1991. But it's not shocking to us now in 2014 because the technology has improved and everybody's got a camera in their back pocket. But has that changed the texture of policing in this country? No, it hasn't. And has it changed the response to such abuse? Not necessarily, because I think that what shocked us in 1991, we see in the year 2014, and we are numb to it. We are numb to a young man being left on the streets of Ferguson, Missouri for any number of hours in hot sun, deceased.
Are we numb? This, I mean, there was a reaction, though. There was a reaction. So are we numb?
Of course there was a reaction. But then there's yet another event, yet another something mm-hmm. that happens. We've even made a feature film about it called Fruitvale Station, which was a lovely film. And we've done a play about it called Rodney King, which hopefully people will come and see at Playmakers Rep this week in Chapel Hill.
Well, what about Daryl? Let me ask you this. Daryl Atkinson, one of my guests in the previous segment, who made the point at the end of our conversation that, that racism looks different. Even if there's not a single officer on the Durham PD who ever uses the N-word, the idea that you would make the assumption about African-Americans that they're carrying drug paraphernalia, but we don't see as many arrests on the Duke campus, even though statistics suggest that the use is the same. That racism has a subtler form and is even more difficult for police departments and police chiefs to understand as racism.
Well, we talk about history in the work, in my work, and history is a living and breathing thing. And when I heard the news of Ferguson, Missouri, I immediately thought of Dred Scott. Now, Dred Scott was a man who was born in Virginia. He was enslaved at birth. His master was a resident of Missouri. He was taken to a free territory of Wisconsin. He thought, oh, well, I'm in a free territory. I should sue for my freedom because now I'm a free man. But it was determined by Supreme Court Justice Roger B. Taney, after whom I am not named, that Dred Scott was not a citizen of the United States of America and that black people had no rights that white people are bound to respect. And that was in 1857. And Frederick Douglass immediately took to the airwaves, as you would call them now. But then he wrote a tremendous editorial and gave a tremendous speech rejecting the Dred Scott decision.
This is your first performance, I believe, that this is the first performance you've done since Ferguson of this play. Does it change your approach?
Every night is a different approach because every night there's a different thing to access, whether it's a current event, a current tragedy, or it's a feeling coming into the theater that particularly time. That's why the show exists in an improvisatory level, because we never know what's going to be affecting us. One of my great teachers is not a dramatist. He happens to be a great musician who lives here in Durham, North Carolina, by the name of Branford Marsalis. And I have heard Branford play standards over and over again, but never the same way, because he's always trying to play with the truth. And that is what I am trying to do with my work, whether that truth is a contemporary truth or whether that truth is a historical truth. I cited the story of Dred Scott not simply to demonstrate my knowledge of American history, but to make the point that we are standing on ground which has been hallowed, which has been consecrated, which has been defiled. And until we are ready to deal with that truth, there will be no reconciliation. So when people say, that was back then, let's let that go, no, we can't let that go. We can't. We must acknowledge that in order to move forward.
Actor and solo performer Roger Genver Smith, his one-man show Rodney King, is on stage at Playmakers tonight, starting tonight in Chapel Hill, and I will be there. You do talkbacks. Let me ask you one very quick question, because you do get response. What sort of response have you been getting to this play since
it's been getting tremendous response, whether it's in New York or Los Angeles or Amsterdam, which is where production manager Kirk Wilson and I took the play earlier to the Right About Now Festival. It's been a tremendous journey, and I think that we are opening the idea of Rodney King up to people as a human being.
We're going to see it tonight, and I will be happy to be there with you to have the talk back tonight, 7:30 at Elizabeth Price Keenan Theater at Playmakers in Chapel Hill. The show is called Rodney King. Roger Genver Smith is the solo performer. Thanks so much for being on the program.
Thanks for having me. We'll see you at Playmakers.
And tomorrow we will see you at Full Frame Theater at American Tobacco. We're going to do a live show with a live audience, and you can be there in the theater to talk about the development of Durham. So watch the show live here at American Tobacco at the Full Frame Theater. That is tomorrow at 12 noon live. And that's our program for today. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.